Everybody, welcome into another edition of the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you to talk all things Florida Panthers hockey over the course of the next hour. And there's a lot to discuss, a lot to cover, a lot of great things to cover. It's been a great run for the Florida Panthers all season, but this week especially, the Panthers have won some big games. They've won six straight, seven straight on home ice after their victory over Buffalo last night. 4-3 was the final score. Come from behind fashion. That's been a theme for the Panthers lately, going back to Tuesday night when they had that huge come from behind win over Toronto. They were down 5-1 in the second period, came roaring back, won it 7-6 in overtime. So the Panthers, they've been finding different ways to win games, and well, that's what you need to do. Got to be able to win games a lot of different ways heading toward the playoffs, and the Panthers have themselves in the running for the top record in the National Hockey League as we approach the NHL's postseason. So again, lots to get to over the course of the next hour. We'll be joined coming up later on in the show. We'll revisit the Territory Talk podcast from this week. Jameson Olive and I had a chance to catch up with David Wilson from the Miami Herald, so we'll get to that coming up later on in the program. George Richards from Florida Hockey Now, he's been covering the Panthers for a long time, and he joins us coming up in segment number two. So lots to get to here. We'll hear from Panthers forward Etu Luostarinen. Billy Lindsay and I had a chance to talk with him immediately following the Panthers 4-3 win over Buffalo last night. So we'll hear that quick conversation coming up in a few moments, and we'll have some highlights from last night's game as well. So a ton to get to. The Panthers, of course, coming off six consecutive wins, and now they head in tonight to take on the Nashville Predators on the road. Panthers and the Predators, 6 o'clock Eastern tonight from Nashville. 5:30 is Panthers preview across the Panthers radio network, so you won't want to miss any of that coming up this evening. The Panthers will be in Nashville. Then they're back home coming up on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Panthers will be home against the Anaheim Ducks. And then Friday at 7, the Panthers home at FLA Live Arena in Sunrise, 7 p.m. against the Winnipeg Jets. FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. And speaking of tickets, folks, there are still some tickets left, some Panthers playoff tickets left. Go to FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com. They're going quickly. You want to get those as soon as possible. And Panthers fans, time to rep the shield. Join the Territory. Become a member now. Territory memberships for next season, they're on sale. Special benefits include pre-sale access to the 2023 NHL All-Star Weekend, priority access to playoff tickets, and much more. Go to FloridaPanthers.com/members or call 954-835-PUCK to become a Territory member today. Well, last night, the Panthers were hosting the Buffalo Sabres on home ice, looking for a season series sweep of Buffalo, looking for their 50th victory of the season, which continues to add to a franchise record. And, of course, the Panthers were looking for a sixth straight win and seventh straight home victory. And, well, last night, despite falling behind 3-1 after the first period, the Panthers came back and they won it 4-3 a night ago. Here are the highlights as they aired on the Florida Panthers radio network.
And now the Panthers bring it out. 1:31 to go in their power play. On to Duclair, right side, Sam Reinhart snaps it to the high slot. Huberto walks in, gives to Chenault a shot. He scores a power play goal, and the Panthers have tied this game at one. Here's Luostarinen. Centers one out in front, in at the side of the goal, a penalty. Now it bounces in front, they score. Patrick Hornquist threw it to the front of the net, and that one bounces past Tchaikarski, and the Panthers are back to within one. Out to the point, Giroux. Now to Barkov. Lots of pressure here. Barkov, long shot, tip, they score! And the Panthers have tied the game at 3. Sam Reinhart right out in front of the net. Looks like he got a stick on this one. A power play goal, and the Panthers tie the game. Here's Bennett in on the near side. Plays it down behind the Buffalo net. Panthers would love to get this thing done in regulation. Barkov holds the zone, finds Huberto in the slot, drops it back. Montour, Barkov, left circle, backdoor feed, they score! They score, and Sam Bennett on the doorstep, and the Panthers take a 4-3 lead with 37.3 seconds to go in regulation time.
Sam Bennett in the final minute last night secured that 4-3 win in regulation for the Panthers, who are in Nashville tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll have it across the radio network for you. Immediately following the game last night, Billy Lindsay and I were joined right here on the Panthers radio network by one of the Panthers forwards.
We've got our guest with us, Etu Luostarinen, here with us, joining us after a 4-3 comeback win for the Panthers. And Etu, well, first,
hi.
You guys, congratulations on the win. You guys do it again. in comeback fashion. How's it feel to get this one tonight?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Obviously, it feels pretty good to win a game at home and like that way also. Like, big goal at the end, and we take these 2 points.
Etu, what's going on with these starts?
I don't know. We got to tighten things up. At first, like, we've been actually pretty bad in the first period, so we got to work on that and, yeah, improve on that.
Well, Etu, looking back at the last game, it felt like everything changed when Radko Gudas got that shorthanded goal. Tonight, Patrick Hornquist gets that goal where he put it off the goalie's back and into the net. Did you feel like that was where the game really turned for you guys?
Yeah, obviously, we got every guy gets energy out of the goals and from the home crowd. So, yeah, it's a big thing. I think those goals kept us going.
Etu, I was pretty impressed with that shot between the legs down the wing. You didn't score on it, but is that something you practice a lot? Or is that something that you have in the bag? Have you done it in the past? Because that was a pretty neat move. You didn't score, but it was a valiant attempt as you put it between your legs and got that shot on net.
Oh, yeah, this is just a... just a little bit thing like that just comes when you play it out there, and just the things happen. Not really that I've been working on that or anything.
And Etu, last one for me here. Another great atmosphere here tonight at FLA Live Arena. You guys pick up your 50th win, your 30th win on home ice. What can you say about the energy that the fans have given you guys here at home?
Yeah, energy is huge in here, and the crowd has been amazing, and I just love these fans, and yeah, they bring so much energy into the game.
And Etu Luostarinen, I want to say congratulations to you. Thanks again for stopping by, and hey, six straight wins. That sounds pretty good to me. Hope you guys are having fun out there, and good luck tomorrow.
Thanks to Etu Luostarinen of the Panthers, who had an assist last night, for stopping by the broadcast at the end of that one, a 4-3 Panthers victory. So now the Panthers shift their focus to tonight's game. They'll be in Nashville, 6 o'clock Eastern. You won't want to miss that. We'll have it across the radio network for you tonight, beginning at 6 p.m. Panthers preview is at 5:30 this evening. Panthers back home 7 o'clock on Tuesday against Anaheim. FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. Coming up later on, we'll revisit a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast. David Wilson from the Miami Herald, kind enough to stop by the show earlier this week. But coming up next, George Richards from Florida Hockey Now. We'll get his thoughts on last night's win, on the Panthers lately, on tonight's matchup. We'll talk some big picture, talk some playoff race. Lots to get to with George Richards on the other side of the break. This is the Panthers Insider Show right here on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Hey everybody, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey this hour. We've got a special guest coming your way in just a moment. Lots to get to as we break down last night's game. The Panthers, another come-from-behind win, this time over the Buffalo Sabres. 4-3 was the final score last night, and they'll be turning the page quickly. The Panthers back on the ice this evening in Nashville, a road game. 6 Eastern, we will drop the puck tonight across the radio network. 5:30, Panthers preview will get you all set up for all of tonight's action. So again, lots to get to. The Panthers on the road against Nashville before they come back home. Couple of home games coming up this week. Tuesday, they'll host the Anaheim Ducks, 7 o'clock, FLA Live Arena, FloridaPanthers.com, Ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. And then Friday night, the Panthers will have the Winnipeg Jets coming into FLA Live Arena. So, again, lots of home action for the Panthers lately and coming up. But joining us here on the Panthers Insider Show, where he's a longtime friend of the program from Florida Hockey Now, covers the Panthers. He's been covering the Panthers for a long time. My friend and yours, George Richards, here on the show. And, well, George, thanks for taking some time out for us here today on the Panthers Insider Show. And I guess immediate reaction, last night, the Panthers, they do it again. They were down a couple after the first period, came back, tied it in the second, and then in the final minute, get the game-winning goal. The comeback Cats back at their old tricks yet again last night.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Doug. Thanks for having me, obviously. Listen, we spoke to Andrew Burnett after the game last night, and he said that he just thought his team was fighting it there in the first period. They found themselves down 3-1. You know, they didn't like the third goal that Sergei Bobrovsky gave up, but the Panthers did not play a bad first period. They just were not completely in sync. Boy, we saw that in the second period when they turned it on, completely dominated that period, get two goals. a nice even third period, although Florida was the dominant team, and they get that late goal in the final minute. But a nice win for Florida. The Buffalo Sabres, a young team, but a very feisty team, a very hardworking team that again, you know, they're playing for jobs. They're playing for next year. This is a developmental team. There are a lot of guys out there. They're trying to win some spots on this team, and it showed.
Panthers with that 4-3 win over Buffalo last night. And George, something I thought that was interesting, you look back at the comeback win over Toronto earlier in the week, and you felt like it was the Radko Gudas shorthanded goal that turned that game upside down compared to the way that it started back on Tuesday night. Last night, Patrick Hornquist gets kind of a wacky one, even though, and this just is a credit to his hockey IQ, Patrick Hornquist was attempting to do that, to put it off the back of Dustin Tokarski, but kind of a wacky goal last night, and that turned that game totally around in the Panthers' favor. So back-to-back games, back-to-back comebacks where I know the Panthers really just tilted the ice in their favor and eventually took control, but that was back-to-back games where you felt like there was one singular event where everything just turned in the Panthers' favor. Did it kind of feel the same way when Patrick Hornquist scored that goal last night?
Yeah, absolutely. That was no mistake. I mean, Patrick, you could see from the press box last night, his eyes open up wide like, he's down on the ice. I got the puck on my stick. I think I can just bank it in right off his back. And that's what he did. That just a really nice play by a veteran guy, a guy that just gets things done. And, yes, that was the turning point because you saw the Panthers. I think they were out shooting them 12-1 at that point in the second and just hadn't been able to get anything past Dustin Tokarski. So, you know, for him to get that going, again, the Gudas goal against Toronto where he flies it in from 50 feet out and it somehow finds its way through. That puck never should have gone through. And this one neither, you know, after all the great saves that he made, he lets one in off his back. That's the way the game goes, and that's the way things went.
Panthers with the 4-3 win last night over Buffalo. They'll be turning the page to the Nashville Predators tonight, but still some other things to discuss. And, George, looking back at last night's game, this was something Billy and I talked about on the broadcast, but through Tuesday's game against Toronto, we've mentioned Mason Marchment on the show this season and kind of the breakout year that he's had. Through Tuesday night, Mason Marchment, that was the 82nd game of his National Hockey League career, so the equivalent of a full season played. Sure. 17 goals, 34 assists, 51 points in the first 82 games of his career. Now, that's including his first few games against Toronto when he debuted, where he was kind of finding his way, the beginning of his time with the Panthers, where he was kind of an in the lineup, out of the lineup, trying to establish himself kind of guy. Over the last few months, though, we've seen him turn into this Swiss Army knife scorer that you can put with anybody and is going to have success. I'm looking at that thinking, okay, he had 51 points in his first 82 games in the league. That's the equivalent to one full season played. There's no reason to think that he can't surpass that and surpass that by a wide margin over his next 82 games just based on the progression that we've seen out of the guy.
Yeah, and I think you look at the numbers that he's putting up and the position that he's been put in and excelling at, right? I mean, he's done everything the Panthers have asked him to do. He got his first big break last year when Joel Quenneville started playing him. You saw him up on the top line in those big games. He's up there with Barkov, and he was making plays, and he's done that all season long. He's going to get paid. He's going to get paid a lot of money. There are a lot of teams salivating at putting some of those numbers that Mason Marchment's putting up on their roster, and they've got the money that the Panthers don't. I mean, that's just the long and short of it, and the Panthers are thrilled for him, but they know he's not coming back because he's got to go get that contract. So not to be Mr. Debbie Downer or anything, but enjoy it while it lasts because he's been a great story. He's been a great find by the Panthers. Just a fantastic season. And congratulate the man. He might help you win some playoff games because he's that good.
And you never know what direction things are going to go. Obviously, a lot can happen, and things can always be juggled around. But it's a compliment to his play in that literally every team in the league has written number 17 on a sheet, put it into some database saying, you know what, that guy's a player. Whether it's a scouting report saying we got to make note of that guy when we play them, or that's a guy that every put it this way, he is a unique guy with a unique skill set
and there aren't guys like him on every team, and every team would love to have a Mason Marchment. Panthers happy that he's on their side. So he's had a breakout year like a lot of the Panthers have. But, George, in mentioning the success the Panthers have had lately, last note before we kind of turn the page into what lies ahead for this Panthers team, you look at the game last night, Barkov with another big game, and Jonathan Huberdeau, Clojureau, getting on the score sheet, Reinhardt, another couple of points for him. So a lot of the big guns coming up big. And you look back to the 7-6 overtime win over Toronto, 5-point night for Huberdeau, and Barkov a big game there. Going into the playoffs especially, and regardless of how a game goes, you know the Panthers are deep. They have so many guys that can burn you on any given night. But how valuable is it? Because as we all know, in all sports, if you are going to go deep, if you're going to have a chance to win it all, you need your big guns to be your big guns. You win and you lose with your horses. And the Panthers right now, it's the best players being the best players, leading the way every single night. And everybody's dangerous on this team, but how valuable is it for, as I said, for the big guns to be the big guns?
I think it's extremely important. I think that you're going to see Aaron Ekblad when he returns. You're going to see him having big games for the Panthers in the postseason. Barkov, Huberdeau, Reinhardt, Bennett. Those are going to be your horses that you ride in, right? I mean, you're going to want to see some Carter Verhaeghe magic, but you're going to need Barkov and Huberdeau and those guys. Those are the guys that are the cornerstone of this franchise. These are the organizational guys that don't come around very often. Sasha Barkov and Huberdeau and Ekblad are special players, and this is going to be a special postseason for them. I know they're really looking forward to it. I know Aaron Ekblad's looking forward to returning, but your best players have to be your best players in the playoffs, and the Panthers have three of the best around.
Looking ahead now, George, the Panthers officially, you could say they're coming down the home stretch here. They're in the running for the President's Trophy, so you obviously want to finish as high as you can as far as the final seedings are concerned. You want to have as much home ice as you can come playoff time. What do you see in talking to the players and hearing from Andrew Burnett? I mean, we're always in the media scrums and everything like that, but from what you've picked up, any common themes that you've picked up that you see as really the key focus for this team heading down the stretch leading into the playoffs? Is it as simple as just making sure that, as we've talked about on our broadcast, the habits are where they need to be come game 83, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't been in this position, right? We're a Florida Panther team, has such a large cushion, or it is going in.
You don't need to go down to the final week.
It's not coming down to the final week, the final game. It didn't even really come down to the final month. We knew this team was going to the playoffs. But that said, these guys all are experienced enough to know that you do not want to go into the postseason without your skates sharpened, let's say. You don't want to be dull going into the playoffs and just kind of lackadaisically walked in. These guys are still showing some intense hockey, even though these games don't mean anything. For the most part, we can say the Atlantic Division's still up for grabs. We can say the Eastern Conference, the President's Trophy's still up for grabs. But for those guys in the room, they just want to be in the playoffs, and who are we going to play? All right, we're playing them tomorrow, whatever. That's all those guys care about. So when you've got 12, 14, 15 games to finish out the stretch, it is tough. It is tough. And then you're talking about, well, our starts have been slow, but they're still winning. They're still piling up the points. They almost would have been better off losing one of these games. I'm just saying, because whatever the coaches are telling, these guys are like, yeah, but we won. And okay, yeah, you're right, you did. Point at the scoreboard. The Panthers know, though. They've got to be sharp. They know the habits have to be there. They still got plenty of time to get everything going, so.
It's the Panthers picking up a sixth straight win, seventh straight home win last night, and tonight going into Nashville. So, George, your thoughts on this one tonight? Obviously, the start paramount tonight. I didn't hear it live, but picked up the gist of it. Patrick Hornquist's post-game comments last night, he basically said that, a first period going down by a couple goals in the first period come playoff time, that's just not going to cut it. And tonight the Panthers are going to be involved in a situation where it's probably, we hear this a lot, but tonight probably the truth. It's going to feel like a playoff game because Nashville is fighting for its life, and every point is live and die for them at this point in that race they're in over in the Western Conference. So the Panthers, who've had a pretty favorable schedule and will have a pretty favorable schedule down the stretch, this is a big test for them coming up tonight in Music City.
Oh, absolutely, Doug. And if you go to my our YouTube channel, Florida Hockey Now YouTube channel, me and you talked about it last night on our post-game show. You can check that out there. But yes, you know, Patrick Hornquist said they know they can't. If this was a playoff game, he said, and they started off being down 3-1 and played the way they were, they would have lost this playoff game. Those guys know. They know what they've got to do. I think going into that charged-up Saturday night atmosphere at Bridgestone Arena in downtown Nashville later tonight, they're going to be ready to play because it's hard. It's hard not to be ready to play in that town because it's just such an energetic crowd. It's going to be such a great atmosphere. It's going to be sold out. There's going to be catfish literally flying onto the ice before the game. They'll be ready to go. You're going to see the best of the Florida Panthers. Even though this is a back-to-back and they're flying up there, you know, they flew up there last night, landed this morning, whatever. I think you're going to see a really, really good, staunch effort from the Panthers tonight in Nashville.
Big picture, George, want to get something from your perspective as well. I believe 9 games in now with Claude Giroux, Ben Chiarot, Robert Haig. They've all been in the lineup every game since the 3 of them were acquired. So 9 games with them. How have you liked the way they've all fit in? I think off the top of my head, 4 multi-point games for Claude Giroux. We've seen them all get on. They all got on the score sheet their first game with the team, but I think all 3 have come in here and done what they were required to do, whether it was bolster the defense in the case of Chiarot and Haig or provide an offensive spark and some face-off prowess in the case of Claude Giroux.
I think when you get high-profile trades like those, you think that these guys are just going to light it up and they're going to be the world is going to surround them. And I think that with the Florida Panthers are just too good for that. They fit in perfectly. They are great options on both ends of the ice. You see Claude Giroux last night getting his second goal in as many games. He's starting to find some chemistry. Listen, he's been a captain. He's been with the same guys all these years in Philadelphia. It takes a little time to get used to it. I think that trip to Canada helped, where they got to mingle and all that. A trip to Nashville helps with that as well. They're getting closer as we go. I think Ben Chiarot has been fine. I think Robert Haig has been a surprise. He hasn't missed a game. I think he's been excellent defensively. So I think it's worked out very well for the Panthers now. Time will tell, but right now everything looks great.
Panthers and the Nashville Predators coming up tonight at 6 Eastern. And then on Tuesday, the Panthers welcome in the Ducks, 7 o'clock Eastern at FLA Live Arena. The Panthers and the Jets coming up Friday at 7 Eastern. Last one here for you, George. This Eastern Conference playoff race, we talked not too long ago here on the Panthers Insider Show. I mean, we've known who the 8 teams are going to be as far as the Eastern Conference playoff picture is concerned. We've known who they're going to be for a while now, it feels like. That gap between the top 8 and everybody else started to really widen, I'd say probably 6 weeks ago. So you look at the way things are shaking out right now, it's still the same situation, I think, even though maybe some people saying Washington's kind of the team that appears to be the, you know, odds-on second wild card. But even the case of the Capitals, wouldn't surprise you if they made a run come playoff time. Have you ever seen a situation where all 8 are, you know, you could make a case that all 8 of these teams could get hot enough to do what it takes to get to the final and represent the Eastern Conference?
No, it's going to be the playoffs when this thing starts, when we finally find out who's going to play who. I think it's just going to be phenomenal hockey because it's going to be a bludgeoning in the Eastern Conference. I mean, every series is going to be tough. The Washington Capitals are the weak link right now in the Eastern Conference.
They beat Tampa Bay the other night and looked great.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's the team you're saying is the weak link. And who knows? Maybe right this second it's Tampa. I mean, the way they're playing, can you believe it? We would say that Tampa Bay is the weak link out of the 8. I mean, that's how nuts the East is going to be. Nobody wants to play Tampa Bay. Nobody wants to play Washington. Washington won it just, 3-4 years ago? Mm-hmm. We know that Washington can turn it on. Washington beat Bobrovsky in Columbus back in, 4 years ago in that first round after being down 2-0 in that series. So, yeah, the East is going to be an absolute zoo.
Yeah, Washington, people say they may be the weak link, and maybe it's because the goaltending can be unreliable at times, but all you got to do, if all it takes is for a goalie to get hot, and then all of a sudden you maybe have the most dangerous team out there, they aren't that far behind. Tampa Bay, George, from your perspective, do you think it is just a matter of those guys just, they've done it two times before, they were third place in the division last year, so it's not as if they need to finish first to get there, they've seen it before. Is it a matter of it just being a veteran team, they know what's at stake, and they're just waiting for the playoffs? What's your take on that?
That very well could be, because that's exactly what happened last year when the Tampa Bay put players on long term. They knew they were in with the four teams in that.
Dangerous game to play.
It is, but we were in the Central Division last year, those teams, right? And the four were guaranteed, pretty much. Florida and Tampa and whoever else got Carolina.
Nashville got in.
Those four were in. Tampa Bay knew it, and didn't really play all that well in the final month of the season. They're not playing very well right now. I do think this is different, though. Even though Tampa Bay knows they're in the playoffs, there's no way anybody's going to catch them. They might be a little tired. They've played a lot of hockey, and we've always talked about this in basketball with LeBron James. Nobody's played more basketball over the past 15, 20 years than LeBron James. Every year he's playing into June, and then he starts up again in September with training camp. That's what Tampa Bay has had to do 2 years in a row now. They went all the way. They had the bubble thing in Toronto.
With unconventional calendars.
Correct. And then last year they had the run deep. So they might not just have the legs, but I think when the whistle blows on the game one of the playoffs, I think we'll see the Tampa Bay Lightning back where they usually are.
Yeah, if they're fatigued, they still have that savvy and that know-how.
And the goaltending.
And exactly, the goaltending of Vasilevsky, which is always dangerous. George Richards, Florida Hockey Now. You can catch him there. You can find him on Twitter at George Richards, FloridaHockeyNow.com. Lots of great coverage, lots of great material there all the time, so go and check out Florida Hockey Now. George, thanks for stopping by the show.
Well, thank you, Doug. Very nice being with you.
Great to have you on board. Enjoy the game tonight. George Richards, Florida Hockey Now, here with us. Coming up next here on the Panthers Insider Show, we will revisit a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast, which you can find at floridapanthers.com/territorytalk or wherever you listen to your podcast. David Wilson from the Miami Herald was kind enough to stop by earlier this week back on Wednesday to talk all things Panthers, some big picture stuff coming up on the other side of the break when we talk to David Wilson. Big thanks once again, as always, to George Richards for stopping by this segment. Doug Plagan here with you. It's the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network. Hey, everybody, welcome back here on the Panthers Insider Show. Doug Plagans here with you, talking all things Florida Panthers hockey this hour. We've got a special guest coming your way in just a moment. Lots to get to as we break down last night's game. The Panthers, another come-from-behind win, this time over the Buffalo Sabres. 4-3 was the final score last night, and they'll be turning the page quickly. The Panthers back on the ice this evening in Nashville, a road game. 6 Eastern, we will drop the puck tonight across the radio network. 5:30, Panthers preview will get you all set up for all of tonight's action. So again, lots to get to. The Panthers on the road against Nashville before they come back home. Couple of home games coming up this week. Tuesday, they'll host the Anaheim Ducks, 7 o'clock, FLA Live Arena, floridapanthers.com, ticketmaster.com, 954-835-PUCK to get your tickets. And then Friday night, the Panthers will have the Winnipeg Jets coming into FLA Live Arena. So again, lots of home action for the Panthers lately and coming up. But joining us here on the Panthers Insider Show, where he's a longtime friend of the program from Florida Hockey Now, covers the Panthers. He's been covering the Panthers for a long time. My friend and yours, George Richards, here on the show. And well, George, thanks for taking some time out for us here today on the Panthers Insider Show. And I guess immediate reaction, last night, the Panthers, they do it again. They were down a couple after the first period, came back, tied it in the second, and then in the final minute, get the game-winning goal. The comeback Cats back at their old tricks yet again last night.
Yeah, no doubt about that, Doug. Thanks for having me, obviously. Listen, we spoke to Andrew Burnett after the game last night, and he said that he just thought his team was fighting it there in the first period. They found themselves down 3-1. They didn't like the third goal that Sergei Bobrovsky gave up. But the Panthers did not play a bad first period. They just were not completely in sync. Boy, we saw that in the second period when they turned it on. Completely dominated that period, get two goals. a nice even third period, although Florida was the dominant team, and they get that late goal in the final minute. But a nice win for Florida. The Buffalo Sabres, a young team, but a very feisty team, a very hardworking team that again, you know, they're playing for jobs. They're playing for next year. This is a developmental team. There are a lot of guys out there. They're trying to win some spots on this team, and it showed.
Panthers with that 4-3 win over Buffalo last night. And George, something I thought that was interesting, you look back at the comeback win over Toronto earlier in the week, and you felt like it was the Radko Gudas shorthanded goal that turned that game upside down compared to the way that it started back on Tuesday night. Last night, Patrick Hornquist gets kind of a wacky one, even though, and this just is a credit to his hockey IQ, Patrick Hornquist was attempting to do that, to put it off the back of Dustin Tokarski, but kind of a wacky goal last night, and that turned that game totally around in the Panthers' favor. So back-to-back games, back-to-back comebacks where I know the Panthers really just tilted the ice in their favor and eventually took control, but that was back-to-back games where you felt like there was one singular event where everything just turned in the Panthers' favor. Did it kind of feel the same way when Patrick Hornquist scored that goal last night?
Yeah, absolutely. That was no mistake. I mean, Patrick, you could see from the press box last night, his eyes open up wide like, he's down on the ice. I got the puck on my stick. I think I can just bank it in right off his back. And that's what he did. That just a really nice play by a veteran guy, a guy that just gets things done. And, yes, that was the turning point because you saw the Panthers. I think they were out shooting them 12-1 at that point in the second and just hadn't been able to get anything past Dustin Tokarski. So, you know, for him to get that going, again, the Gudas goal against Toronto where he flies it in from 50 feet out and it somehow finds its way through. That puck never should have gone through. And this one neither, you know, after all the great saves that he made, he lets one in off his back. That's the way the game goes, and that's the way things went.
Panthers with the 4-3 win last night over Buffalo. They'll be turning the page to the Nashville Predators tonight, but still some other things to discuss. And, George, looking back at last night's game, this was something Billy and I talked about on the broadcast, but through Tuesday's game against Toronto, we've mentioned Mason Marchment on the show this season and kind of the breakout year that he's had. Through Tuesday night, Mason Marchment, that was the 82nd game of his National Hockey League career, so the equivalent of a full season played. Sure. 17 goals, 34 assists, 51 points in the first 82 games of his career. Now, that's including his first few games against Toronto when he debuted, where he was kind of finding his way, the beginning of his time with the Panthers, where he was kind of an in the lineup, out of the lineup, trying to establish himself kind of guy. Over the last few months, though, we've seen him turn into this Swiss Army knife scorer that you can put with anybody and is going to have success. I'm looking at that thinking, okay, he had 51 points in his first 82 games in the league. That's the equivalent to one full season played. There's no reason to think that he can't surpass that and surpass that by a wide margin over his next 82 games just based on the progression that we've seen out of the guy.
Yeah, and I think you look at the numbers that he's putting up and the position that he's been put in and excelling at, right? I mean, he's done everything the Panthers have asked him to do. He got his first big break last year when Joel Quenneville started playing him. You saw him up on the top line in those big games. He's up there with Barkov, and he was making plays, and he's done that all season long. He's going to get paid. He's going to get paid a lot of money. There are a lot of teams salivating at putting some of those numbers that Mason Marchment's putting up on their roster, and they've got the money that the Panthers don't. I mean, that's just the long and short of it, and the Panthers are thrilled for him, but they know he's not coming back because he's got to go get that contract. So not to be Mr. Debbie Downer or anything, but enjoy it while it lasts because he's been a great story. He's been a great find by the Panthers. Just a fantastic season. And congratulate the man. He might help you win some playoff games because he's that good.
And you never know what direction things are going to go. Obviously, a lot can happen, and things can always be juggled around. But it's a compliment to his play in that literally every team in the league has written number 17 on a sheet, put it into some database saying, you know what, that guy's a player. Whether it's a scouting report saying we got to make note of that guy when we play them, or that's a guy that every put it this way, he is a unique guy with a unique skill set and there aren't guys like him on every team, and every team would love to have a Mason Marchment. Panthers happy that he's on their side. So he's had a breakout year like a lot of the Panthers have. But, George, in mentioning the success the Panthers have had lately, last note before we kind of turn the page into what lies ahead for this Panthers team. You look at the game last night, Barkov with another big game, and Jonathan Huberdeau, Clojureau, getting on the score sheet, Reinhardt, another couple of points for him. So a lot of the big guns coming up big. And you look back to the 7-6 overtime win over Toronto, 5-point night for Huberdeau, and Barkov a big game there. Going into the playoffs especially, and regardless of how a game goes, you know the Panthers are deep. They have so many guys that can burn you on any given night. But how valuable is it? Because as we all know, in all sports, if you are going to go deep, if you're going to have a chance to win it all, you need your big guns to be your big guns. You win and you lose with your horses. And the Panthers right now, it's the best players being the best players, leading the way every single night. And everybody's dangerous on this team, but how valuable is it for, as I said, for the big guns to be the big guns?
I think it's extremely important. I think that you're going to see Aaron Ekblad when he returns. You're going to see him having big games for the Panthers in the postseason. And Barkov, Huberdeau, Reinhardt, Bennett, those are going to be your horses that you ride in, right? I mean, you're going to want to see some Carter Verhaeghe magic, but you're going to need Barkov and Huberdeau and those guys. Those are the guys that are the cornerstone of this franchise. These are the organizational guys that don't come around very often. Sasha Barkov and Huberdeau and Ekblad are special players, and this is going to be a special postseason for them. I know they're really looking forward to it. I know Aaron Ekblad's looking forward to returning, but your best players have to be your best players in the playoffs, and the Panthers have three of the best around.
Looking ahead now, George, the Panthers officially, you could say they're coming down the home stretch here. They're in the running for the President's Trophy, so you obviously want to finish as high as you can as far as the final seedings are concerned. You want to have as much home ice as you can come playoff time. What do you see in talking to the players and hearing from Andrew Burnett? I mean, we're always in the media scrums and everything like that, but from what you've picked up, any common themes that you've picked up that you see as really the key focus for this team heading down the stretch leading into the playoffs? Is it as simple as just making sure that, as we've talked about on our broadcast, the habits are where they need to be come game 83, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, we haven't been in this position, right? We're a Florida Panther team, has such a large cushion, or it is going in.
You don't need to go down to the final week.
It's not coming down to the final week, the final game. It didn't even really come down to the final month. We knew this team was going to the playoffs. But that said, these guys all are experienced enough to know that you do not want to go into the postseason without your skates sharpened, let's say. You don't want to be dull going into the playoffs and just kind of lackadaisically walked in. These guys are still showing some intense hockey, even though these games don't mean anything. For the most part, we can say the Atlantic Division's still up for grabs. We can say the Eastern Conference, the President's Trophy's still up for grabs. But for those guys in the room, they just want to be in the playoffs, and who are we going to play? All right, we're playing them tomorrow, whatever. That's all those guys care about. So when you've got 12, 14, 15 games to finish out the stretch, it is tough. It is tough. And then you're talking about, well, our starts have been slow, but they're still winning. They're still piling up the points. They almost would have been better off losing one of these games. I'm just saying, because whatever the coaches are telling, these guys are like, yeah, but we won. And okay, yeah, you're right, you did. Point at the scoreboard. The Panthers know, though. They've got to be sharp. They know the habits have to be there. They still got plenty of time to get everything going, so.
It's the Panthers picking up a sixth straight win, seventh straight home win last night, and tonight going into Nashville. So, George, your thoughts on this one tonight? Obviously, the start paramount tonight. I didn't hear it live, but picked up the gist of it. Patrick Hornquist's post-game comments last night, he basically said that, a first period going down by a couple goals in the first period come playoff time, that's just not going to cut it. And tonight the Panthers are going to be involved in a situation where it's probably, we hear this a lot, but tonight probably the truth. It's going to feel like a playoff game because Nashville is fighting for its life, and every point is live and die for them at this point in that race they're in over in the Western Conference. So the Panthers, who've had a pretty favorable schedule and will have a pretty favorable schedule down the stretch, this is a big test for them coming up tonight in Music City.
Oh, absolutely, Doug. And if you go to my our YouTube channel, Florida Hockey Now YouTube channel, me and you talked about it last night on our post-game show. You can check that out there. But yes, you know, Patrick Hornquist said they know they can't. If this was a playoff game, he said, and they started off being down 3-1 and played the way they were, they would have lost this playoff game. Those guys know. They know what they've got to do. I think going into that charged-up Saturday night atmosphere at Bridgestone Arena in downtown Nashville later tonight, they're going to be ready to play because it's hard. It's hard not to be ready to play in that town because it's just such an energetic crowd. It's going to be such a great atmosphere. It's going to be sold out. There's going to be catfish literally flying onto the ice before the game. They'll be ready to go. You're going to see the best of the Florida Panthers. Even though this is a back-to-back and they're flying up there, you know, they flew up there last night, landed this morning, whatever. You're going to see a really, really good, staunch effort from the Panthers tonight in Nashville.
Big picture, George, want to get something from your perspective as well. I believe 9 games in now with Claude Giroux, Ben Chiarot, Robert Haig. They've all been in the lineup every game since the 3 of them were acquired. So 9 games with them. How have you liked the way they've all fit in? I think off the top of my head, 4 multi-point games for Claude Giroux. We've seen them all get on. They all got on the score sheet their first game with the team, but I think all 3 have come in here and done what they were required to do, whether it was bolster the defense in the case of Chiarot and Haig or provide an offensive spark and some face-off prowess in the case of Claude Giroux.
I think when you get high-profile trades like those, you think that these guys are just going to light it up and they're going to be the world is going to surround them. And I think that with the Florida Panthers are just too good for that. They fit in perfectly. They are great options on both ends of the ice. You see Claude Giroux last night getting his second goal in as many games. He's starting to find some chemistry. Listen, he's been a captain. He's been with the same guys all these years in Philadelphia. It takes a little time to get used to it. I think that trip to Canada helped, where they got to mingle and all that. A trip to Nashville helps with that as well. They're getting closer as we go. I think Ben Chiarot has been fine. I think Robert Haig has been a surprise. He hasn't missed a game. I think he's been excellent defensively. So I think it's worked out very well for the Panthers now. Time will tell, but right now everything looks great.
Panthers and the Nashville Predators coming up tonight at 6 Eastern. And then on Tuesday, the Panthers welcome in the Ducks, 7 o'clock Eastern at FLA Live Arena. The Panthers and the Jets coming up Friday at 7 Eastern. Last one here for you, George. This Eastern Conference playoff race, we talked not too long ago here on the Panthers Insider Show. I mean, we've known who the 8 teams are going to be as far as the Eastern Conference playoff picture is concerned. We've known who they're going to be for a while now, it feels like. That gap between the top 8 and everybody else started to really widen, I'd say probably 6 weeks ago. So you look at the way things are shaking out right now, it's still the same situation, I think, even though maybe some people saying Washington's kind of the team that appears to be the, you know, odds-on second wild card. But even the case of the Capitals, wouldn't surprise you if they made a run come playoff time. Have you ever seen a situation where all 8 are, you know, you could make a case that all 8 of these teams could get hot enough to do what it takes to get to the final and represent the Eastern Conference?
No, it's going to be the playoffs when this thing starts, when we finally find out who's going to play who. I think it's just going to be phenomenal hockey because it's going to be a bludgeoning in the Eastern Conference. I mean, every series is going to be tough. The Washington Capitals are the weak link right now in the Eastern Conference.
They beat Tampa Bay the other night and looked great.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's the team you're saying is the weak link. And who knows? Maybe right this second it's Tampa. I mean, the way they're playing, can you believe it? We would say that Tampa Bay is the weak link out of the 8. I mean, that's how nuts the East is going to be. Nobody wants to play Tampa Bay. Nobody wants to play Washington. Washington won it just, 3-4 years ago? Mm-hmm. We know that Washington can turn it on. Washington beat Bobrovsky in Columbus back in, 4 years ago in that first round after being down 2-0 in that series. So, Yeah, you know, the East is going to be an absolute zoo.
Yeah, Washington, people say they may be the weak link, and maybe it's because the goaltending can be unreliable at times, but all you got to do, if all it takes is for a goalie to get hot, and then all of a sudden you maybe have the most dangerous team out there, they aren't that far behind. Tampa Bay, George, from your perspective, do you think it is just a matter of those guys just, they've done it two times before, they were third place in the division last year, so it's not as if they need to finish first to get there, they've seen it before. Is it a matter of it just being a veteran team, they know what's at stake, and they're just waiting for the playoffs? What's your take on that?
That very well could be, because that's exactly what happened last year when the Tampa Bay put players on long term. They knew they were in with the four teams in that.
Dangerous game to play.
It is, but we were in the Central Division last year, those teams, right? And the four were guaranteed, pretty much. Florida and Tampa and whoever else got Carolina.
Nashville got in.
Those four were in. Tampa Bay knew it, and didn't really play all that well in the final month of the season. They're not playing very well right now. I do think this is different, though. Even though Tampa Bay knows they're in the playoffs, there's no way anybody's going to catch them. They might be a little tired. They've played a lot of hockey, and we've always talked about this in basketball with LeBron James. Nobody's played more basketball over the past 15, 20 years than LeBron James. Every year he's playing into June, and then he starts up again in September with training camp. That's what Tampa Bay has had to do 2 years in a row now. They went all the way. They had the bubble thing in Toronto.
With unconventional calendars.
Correct. And then last year they had the run deep. So they might not just have the legs, but I think when the whistle blows on the game one of the playoffs, I think we'll see the Tampa Bay Lightning back where they usually are.
Yeah, if they're fatigued, they still have that savvy and that know-how.
And the goaltending.
And exactly, the goaltending of Vasilevsky, which is always dangerous. George Richards, Florida Hockey Now. You can catch him there. You can find him on Twitter at George Richards, FloridaHockeyNow.com. Lots of great coverage, lots of great material there all the time, so go and check out Florida Hockey Now. George, thanks for stopping by the show.
Well, thank you, Doug. Very nice being with you.
Great to have you on board. Enjoy the game tonight. George Richards, Florida Hockey Now, here with us. Coming up next here on the Panthers Insider Show, we will revisit a cut from the most recent Territory Talk podcast, which you can find at floridapanthers.com/territorytalk or wherever you listen to your podcast. David Wilson from the Miami Herald was kind enough to stop by earlier this week back on Wednesday to talk all things Panthers, some big picture stuff coming up on the other side of the break when we talk to David Wilson. Big thanks once again, as always, to George Richards for stopping by this segment. Doug Plagan here with you. It's the Panthers Insider Show on the Florida Panthers Radio Network.